From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 28, 2016. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. In this week's report, Philippine hams team up to confront back-to-back typhoons, an Ecuador radio club recognizes ARRL's Ham Aid program, and the battleship Missouri serves as a venue for an amateur radio licensing class and test session. Those stories and others, plus this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hello, everyone. I'm ARRL member Rick Roderick, Kilowatt 5 Uniform Radio of Cabot, Arkansas, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Philippine Amateur Radio Association's Ham Emergency Radio Operations, or HERO, network volunteers were ready for Super Typhoon Haima, which struck the northeastern Philippines on October 19th, with winds peaking at more than 180 miles per hour prior to landfall, a Category 5 storm. Robert Vicencio, DU1VHY, reported that HERO had already activated its net on 7110 kHz for an earlier Category 3 storm, Typhoon Sharika, which hit Luzon Island before moving west and weakening. But the powerful Haima forced thousands of residents to flee. More than a dozen deaths in the Philippines were blamed on the storm. Considering the limited access to other communication channels, ham radio is being used to support affected communities to communicate with their loved ones and provide feedback to their evolving needs, the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said in a report. The latest of a dozen storms to hit the Philippines archipelago this year, Haima left in its wake a path of debris, destroyed infrastructure, flooding, landslides, and some 46,000 damaged homes and businesses. The storm also had an impact on agriculture and fishing. Vicencio said that 130 stations checked into the HERO net to give reports on weather conditions, power outages, and flooding. Other groups of radio amateurs, including the United Methodist Amateur Radio Club, sent members north to the province of Isabela. The UN reported that amateur radio provided solar generator sets to radio amateurs in Isabela. It took a team of three radio amateurs more than 10 hours to reach Santiago City, Isabela, by road. They were able to report via HF that electrical power had been cut and phone coverage was intermittent in the province. ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, was recognized by the Guayaquil Radio Club of Ecuador for coordinating the work of the ARRL headquarters and field organization team to provide ham aid equipment to Ecuador this past spring, following a 7.8 magnitude earthquake in April. Presenting the award during the IARU Region 2 General Assembly in Chile was Guayaquil Radio Club President Lorenzo Lertora, HC2BP, who was also Ecuador's Deputy Defense Minister. Lertoya said the equipment provided through Ham Aid allowed Ecuadorian amateur radio volunteers to help a Venezuelan Air Force plane carrying search and rescue personnel and equipment to land safely at an airport that had lost all power and communication. Some 400 pounds of amateur radio Ham Aid gear was shipped from ARRL headquarters to Ecuador in early May to support relief and recovery efforts underway in the wake of the earthquake that struck the South American nation on April 16th. The disaster destroyed or compromised electrical power and commercial telecommunication systems and rendered many roads impassable due to earthquake rubble. The battle continues between Radio Eritrea and Radio Ethiopia, which is said to be jamming the Eritrean broadcaster with broadband white noise. The problem for radio amateurs is that the battle is taking place in the 40-meter phone band between 7145 and 7175 kHz, with the jamming signal reported to be 20 kHz wide on each channel. The on-air conflict has been going on for years. Ethiopia constructed new transmitting sites in 2008 and is said to use two or three of them for jamming purposes. The interfering signals can be heard in North America after dark. According to the IARU Region 1 Monitoring System Region 1 Coordinator Wolf Hoddle, DK2OM, Radio Eritrea is airing separate programs on each frequency. He said in their September newsletter that telecommunications regulators in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland have been contacted so they could file official complaints. Other AM broadcast intruders on 40 meters include Radio Hargeisa in Somaliland, land on 7120 kilohertz, which, Hoddle said, is even audible in Australia and Japan. He further reports that the Voice of Iran's signal on 7205 kilohertz is splattering up to 5 kc on either side of its channel, while Radio France International, which operates on the same frequency, is splattering down to 7185 kilohertz. Online, via podcast, and on repeaters across the country, you're listening to ARRL Audio News. In this week's satellite update, the amateur radio on the International Space Station program has announced that the VHF handheld transceiver that astronauts had been using to speak via amateur radio with students and educational groups around the world for more than 16 years recently began displaying an error message, rendering it unusable, at least for now. While the ARRS technical team is looking into how to restore operation from the ISS Columbus module, it will support ARRS contacts from NA1SS using the 25-watt transceiver in the Russian service module. Cosmonauts have been using that radio to carry out their ARRS school contacts from RS-0 ISS. For the time being, the packet digipeater will be unavailable. Switching to the 70-centimeter capability in the Columbus module for some operations is being coordinated. New ISS ham gear is on the way, however. ARRS is actively working on a new interoperable hardware system for the ISS, ARRS Operations Committee Chair Dave Taylor, W8AAS, said in an AMSAT bulletin board post. The radio is complete except for final programming and NASA testing and certification. On October 21st, the ARRS hardware team held a technical interchange meeting for the interoperable hardware system. In addition to domestic and international ARRS technical evaluation and support committee members, subject matter experts from NASA attended to provide advice. The design process is ongoing. ARRS International President Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, has estimated that the cost of the 3-year development cycle for the new hardware is in the range of $200,000. He encouraged donations to the ARRS Challenge Coin donation campaign announced earlier this year at the Dayton Hamvention. The goal is to have a new system aboard the ISS about 1 year from now. A reminder that the deadline is November 1st for formal and informal education institutions and organizations to submit proposals to host an amateur radio contact with an ISS crew member on board the ISS. ARRS anticipates that contacts will take place between July 1st and December 31st, 2017. Crew scheduling and ISS orbits determine the exact contact dates. To maximize these radio contact opportunities, ARRS is looking for organizations that will draw large numbers of participants and integrate the ham radio contact into a well-developed education plan. More information is available on the ARRL website. Amateurs taking part in the ARRL National Parks on the Air program are making a serious push to complete 1 million contacts from eligible NPS units before December 31st. NPOTA crossed the 750,000 mark last week, and in just 7 days, more than 25,000 new contacts were uploaded to Logbook of the World, putting the year-to-date total at 778,000. Every radio amateur can help NPOTA break the 1 million mark by getting on the air and working the activators at parks, or by going out and activating an NPOTA unit themselves. October 21st saw the first activation of the Edgar Allan Poe National Historic Site in Philadelphia. Ed Brenizer, WA3WSJ, Walt Skavinsky, KB3SBC, and Pete Kobach, K0BAK, braved rain and heavy winds and managed to log more than 200 contacts from this exceptionally rare unit. Pete has been involved in activating some of the most sought-after and rarest NPOTA urban units. He will continue this streak by providing the first-ever activation of the Benjamin Franklin National Memorial-affiliated area in downtown Philadelphia on Sunday, October 30th. 42 activations are on schedule for October 27th through November 2nd, including the Selma to Montgomery National Historic Trail in Alabama and the Longfellow House National Historic Site in Massachusetts. Details on these and other NPOTA activations can be found on the NPOTA Activations Calendar. Aries Racy's volunteers stepped up to support communication for the Clark County, Nevada Office of Emergency Management during the third U.S. presidential debate in Las Vegas, Nevada on October 19th. Clark County OEM Chief John Steinbeck asked Aries Racy's to activate and support the county's Multi-Agency Coordination Center, or MACC. Seven Clark County Aries Racy's members operated UHF and VHF voice, as well as VHF packet and mesh VOIP from the MACC, as well as from the Clark County IT Department communications van during the entire event. In addition, Aries Racy's members provided backup monitoring of all event communications. More than a dozen Clark County Aries Racy's members remained on standby, monitoring communications from home and mobile stations in case a wider activation was required.
Hi, I'm ARL member Dan Campbell, KC3APY, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and listening to ARL Audio News.
And finally, the ARRL-affiliated Emergency Amateur Radio Club, or EARC, in Honolulu, held the first-ever amateur radio licensing classes and test session on board the battleship USS Missouri, now a World War II memorial berthed in Pearl Harbor. The October 8th test session was the culmination of 5 weeks of classes and a tour of KH-6BB, the ship's club station. Eight applicants passed the technician exam, and two of them went on to pass the general class test as well. Candidates included a couple living aboard a sailing vessel who wanted to be able to stay in touch while underway. Four military personnel wanted to get ham tickets so they would be better at their jobs, the club said. One military dependent always wanted to get licensed and thought it would be fun, according to the EARC. A teen who had worked on a project in Alaska involving satellites also was among the successful applicants. A team of four EARC volunteer examiners administered the tests. After seeing service as recently as the early 1990s, the battleship was donated to the USS Missouri Memorial Association in 1998 and is now a museum ship. The vessel's radio room is home to KH-6BB, operated by the Battleship Missouri Amateur Radio Club. That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or a comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2016 ARRL. All rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. 73, and thanks for listening.